Thank you so much for that. Give them some love. I love the message of both of those songs. The storm is passing over. Whatever situation you find yourself in, we've got to know that the storm is passing over. Because nothing comes to stay, including us. Everything comes to what comes to pass. Everything comes to have its experience, to have its expression, and then it moves, and something else comes in its place. And I know that we're living in some interesting times, but that's a good reminder that the storm is passing over. The situation has come to teach us certain things, and we can learn and grow and evolve. But trouble don't last always. And then that traditional, wonderful gospel, leaning on those what? Everlasting arms, which lets us know, even though we don't want to anthropomorphize God in terms of making God into the image of a man, with holding on to the everlasting arms and hands, but metaphorically, we know that that means just to keep attaching our awareness and consciousness to the divine, to that God essence that can help us move through whatever storm may be in our way, whatever situation or circumstances. So sometimes we have to remember, let's just hold on to the truth, the hands of truth. Hold on to that which we know is going to help us to move through any particular situation or circumstance. So that wasn't my message for this morning, but that's what Spirit gave me to share. Sometimes you got to be in the flow, right? So good morning, everyone. Good morning, It is a good morning. It's God's morning. It's our morning. It's a great and wonderful day. And sometimes we just have to remember that. This is still the day that the Lord has made, and we can still rejoice and be glad in it, right? So when I got up this morning, I said, well, I want to put on, it's fall out there, it's a little nippy. I'm going to put on my bright fall colors so that I can, you know, feel the season. Because in life, there are what seasons? We have our summertime season, our wintertime season. This is the fall season where there's transformation. And so apropos, once again, we're in the season of what? Of transformation. And so I just thought, oh, let me put that, my orange jacket on and feel like I'm in fall. And then when I looked in the mirror, I put on my lipstick and I said, oh, but your lipstick is clashing with your your red lipstick is clashing with your orange jacket. And then I said, so what? Who cares? You know, I'm loving the new space that I'm in. I give myself so much more freedom, you know? I looked and said, okay. Who cares? It doesn't matter. All things are good. So I just want to take this time to really thank everyone for all of the birthday blessings, the birthday cards, the birthday gifts, the well wishes. It was just so wonderful. There was a whole bunch. So, and I take each time I read the cards, I try to soak it all in. And I just said, I'm so grateful for this congregation and for my ability to be here and to serve. And what I love about the times that we're in, I even had an opportunity to hear from people who have moved out of the area and no longer able to come, but they watch online. And they sent in their birthday cards, and it was just it was like, oh, I haven't seen so-and-so or her. And just to know that there are people out there that are still connecting to us as a spiritual community, and that took the time to send a card or send a gift from another state or, you know, just so beautiful, so grateful and thankful for all of that. It's always my prayer. I always have a prayer before I do any service, whether it's my Sunday service or something else where I'm asked to connect or speak, is that I at least touch one person. That's always been my prayer. Let it just be at least one person, Lord, that I'm able to touch or to bless. And if I feel that I can do that, and I always say that sometimes the one person is me, but that's okay too. I count. But if I can touch at least one life, one person, then I feel that I've done my job. I've allowed the Spirit of the Living God to use me as a vessel. You know, one of our songs that we sang during my ordination some 30-odd years ago was, use me, Lord. Let me be a vessel. You know, use me. Here I am. It's from the scripture that says, here I am, Lord. Use me. Here I am, Lord. Speak. Here I am, Lord. Move my hands, move my feet, move my heart. Let me do a good work that I might be a vessel for the divine, for the will and the work of the divine, so that this Spirit of the Living Presence that, you know, generates all life is able to move through me and flow to me and through me so that I can be a blessing to others. So I'm very, very grateful and thankful. And while I was thinking about being a vessel, I said, well, the goal of any vessel, and we're all vessels, right? Because the divine flows through each of us. Each of us is here for divine purpose, a higher purpose. We have a purpose. And one of them should be to allow the will of the divine, the creative force of all that is, to flow through us so that we may press it out. We may express it, right? Press out the essence of God, the essence of the divine. Through what? Through our hands and through our work and through our, you know, sight and sound and through the whole being. And so one of the things, the goals of being a vessel, I thought, was to be clear and to be open. To be clear and to be open enough so that the Spirit that indwells us can flow through us. And that's always my endeavor when I'm trying to sit down and figure out what I'm going to share. But if I'm honest with all of you, sometimes, in all honesty, I don't know if I'm in the way or whatever, but I feel like it's a struggle. There's some type of block that's going on. And yet Spirit's work is always done in spite of myself. And thank God for that. Sometimes I say, you know what? Thank God you're still working in spite of me. Because, I'm not the assistant manager of the universe. So the universe still unfolds and it still does what it has to do through me. But sometimes I get in the way. Do you ever get in your own way? Yeah. Sometimes I know I'm in the way and things become a sense of a struggle. And, you know, even when I'm doing God's work. And so, it doesn't always unfold like I think it should be unfolding. And even with, like, say, the messages. Sometimes I get the message and it comes through so clear and easy. And I know what I need to say and it's wonderful. The writing is easy. And then there are times when it's not so much, when I feel like I'm just sitting there waiting. What? You know, it's sort of like there are 52 Sundays, and so I need 52 messages. And after a while, you know, when you, like, if you're cooking dinner every single day, sometimes you're like, oh, Lord, what can I have for dinner? And it's like, oh, I'm tired of thinking about that, right? Sometimes it's like, oh, what can I say that I haven't said before? What do you want me to say? And so I was in one of those spaces for this week, and I was sort of struggling, and I was asking, what should I talk about? What's the message that you want me to give? What is it? What is it? And it was like, nothing. And I sat, I said, well, you know what? I can't seem to get it, and my spirit was not quite right. It was a little disturbed by some things, and so I couldn't focus in. So I said, well, you just go upstairs, and you just sit. You sit down. And you wait, because sometimes you have to, they that wait upon the Lord, right? So I said, well, this must be a waiting upon, because my mind is blank. I have no idea of what direction I need to go in. So I sat there, and I just went into a meditative state. And sometimes when I'm in that meditative state, it's almost like what I call a meditative twilight state, where I'm conscious, but I'm not really conscious. I'm present, but I'm not really present. But I'm open. And when I'm in those states, sometimes I hear. So I was in that state of just peace and not really conscious. My mind wasn't working. I wasn't thinking. I wasn't feeling. I wasn't aware. And then all of a sudden, I just heard. I heard the way of the peaceful warrior. And so when I heard that, I came up. And that's a book that I read a number of years ago by Dan Millman. Lovely book. Good book. but it's been years since I read it. And I was like, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior? And I was like, okay, well, what's that about? What should I say about that? Is it about the book, or what is it that you mean? What is the message that I can glean from that particular phrase? And so you know me, I love words, and so I said, well, why don't you just contemplate the words, right? You sit here, you sat here, and what was given to you is the way of the peaceful warrior. Now contemplate what that might mean, and those two words, peaceful warrior. But that sounds like a non sequitur, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like it should go together, peaceful warrior. And it sounds like they are seemingly opposites, right? Because how can one be both? How can you be peaceful and a warrior at the same time? And as I was asking myself, peaceful warrior, and I know what it really means, but I was just doing my thing to generate, you know, open my consciousness up to see what else and it could mean. And I was like, okay, peaceful and warrior. How can one? People might ask, well, how can one be both? And all of a sudden, the moment I said, how can one be both? I thought, this is about the both and theory. The both and theory, or the both and mindset. Because sometimes we are so conditioned to having an either or mindset, right? It's either good or it's bad. It's either right or it's wrong. It's either black or it's white. It's either this or it's that. And sometimes life is neither of those. Sometimes there's the both and. And if we can allow ourselves to know the difference of when do I need to have a both and mindset? Because when I have an either or, I think the state that we're in right now is that we are in an either or state. Either you're this political party or you're that political party. Either this is what you have to believe or this is what you have to believe. And when I'm thinking about it, the either or mentality is a mentality of separation. Right? It's a mentality of exclusion. No, you can't be. If you're over here, you can't be over here. You can't think like this or feel that because you're over here. You got to be over here in this camp. Whereas the both and mentality is one of what? Inclusivity. Yes, it can be this and it can be that. It's a both and. A healing mentality. And sometimes things sort of appear to be opposites when they actually are the same side of a coin, two sides of the same coin, right? And it all depends upon what's showing up at the moment. Sometimes you flip that penny and it's what? It's heads. And sometimes it's tails. So it's not either or, it's still a penny, but it has two sides of the same coin, which depends upon whatever side is up. Now, we have a plethora of thoughts and feelings and perceptions and emotions, right, and points of view that we can hold, emotions and expressions, a whole bunch. And we are never, or it is never, that we're always this or always that. Never. If someone says, you know what, I'm always kind, I want you to give a little side eye, because that's not always true. We can have moments when what? Lack of kindness shows up. I'm always, you know, generous. But then sometimes there's a moment where you say, I'm going to take my stuff and put it over here and use it for me. We're never just one way or the other. We might have general proclivities and general tendencies, but rest assured, its opposite may also show up. And so we have to learn, well, how can it be one, you know, how can we be this way and that way? Because things are sometimes in life come up to show us there's a depth to our being. We're not one-dimensional beings. We are several-dimensional beings. I like to think in my maturity that I have matured and I'm always a particular way. But I also know that sometimes there's that little person back there who expresses in a more natural way. I was sharing with my brother, my oldest brother, and I was just venting, and I needed to just get some stuff off, and, you know, and I was just, but I was venting, and finally I was working myself up, and I got into a way where my words were not, I wasn't choosing my words. I was like, and I was using this expletive and that expletive, and I was just going off. And my brother said, oh, there's that Becca Beans. He used to call me Becca Beans, and that's a whole nother story, but when he did that, Becca Beans would get me mad and angry whenever he called me Becca Beans, right? But he would say, oh, there's that Becca Beans that I knew when we were children, you know. In other words, you weren't always this kind, loving minister. I know who you are. And so, you know, but I felt comfortable enough to what? I just let it out. And he wasn't doing it in a light, wonderful way, not in a judgment way, but he was like, mm-hmm, there she is. And I, you know, and it was fine because there's all aspects to our being. All of it. And if you think that you're a saint, again, I'm going to look at you like a side eye, because I'm sure Mother Teresa had her moments. She had her expressions, right? Because we're never all this way or all that way. Sometimes it's a both and. And we have to learn to figure out which side of the coin is up. Now, granted, you want to be able to monitor how you choose that you want to show up in the world. I don't always want to show up as Becca Beans all the time, right? So I work on that. But I also know that Becca Beans is still in there sometimes, and she may get triggered or whatever, and I need to be aware of that. I may be a positive person for the majority of times, but that doesn't mean that I'll never have a negative thought. We try in truth and in new thought to be what? Positive people, to come from the positive perspective of life. Does that mean we walk around and we're so pure and clean? No, we have negative thoughts. The key is to be aware of what is showing up at any given point in time and how to work with those things, you know? It's both and. I talk about us being divinely human. So Jesus, let me talk about Jesus was divinely divine, fully divine, and he was also what? Fully human. And you can't take away the humanity just because we have divinity, right? There's a way in which they both are. Sometimes we're called to lead, but we're servants. How can you be a servant leader? Because sometimes you got to be a servant, and sometimes you got to be what? A leader. Sometimes we say, these are some phrases that we say, you know, and a servant leader, or you could be a wounded healer. Well, how could I be a wounded healer? Because you can heal, but you also have wounds that need to be addressed. And so you're a wounded healer. You're not just a perfect healer. You're a wounded healer. You're a servant leader, right? You're a peaceful warrior. How can I be peaceful and have war? Because the warrior essence is that part of you that gets stuff done. That part of you that stands up for righteousness and for justice. And so there's that warrior side that will fight, but then there's that peaceful side that understands how to do that. So the key is not that we become one or the other. We have to be what? Both and. We've got to learn how to be both and to merge them together so that when we have these moments that our peace is not just sort of supplanted by our warrior spirit, but that our peace is able to meld into our warrior spirit. Amen. Our leadership is, the servanthood moves into our leadership. Our divinity, you know, moves into what? Our humanity. So it's not like we have to, well, I'm just a human being. No, we're divine. But you can't go around and thinking you're just divine without your humanity. We're both and how do we do that? So we're not just, you know, being supplanted by one or the other or thinking we have to be one or the other. Before I accepted my ordination vows, it took me a long time, and I wasn't going to do it because I realized I wasn't perfect. And then I heard myself saying, well, I can't take these vows because I'm not perfect yet. I'm not, you know, I still judge, I still get upset, I still get angry, and all that stuff. And I had a dark night of the soul before my ordination was going to take place at 6:30 that next morning. And that whole night I wrestled with this part of my I wrestled with my humanity. And Spirit told me, it clearly as day, I know who you are. I know everything about you. I've told you all this before, but it's such a powerful experience. And it said, I know everything about you. And I am calling you not in your perfection. I'm calling you in your imperfection. And so once I recognized that, it's like, what? I could be at peace. I could be at peace to recognize God wasn't calling me to be perfect. There is no such thing. There's the evolving soul and the evolving self, and we're here to work on self. We're here to merge our divinity and our humanity and to learn of ourselves and to grow and to transform, to lead, to heal while we're wounded, to serve while we're leading, to lead while we're serving, to be peaceful while we have that warrior, while we're fighting for justice and righteousness, right? All of that. And so it's just a wonderful opportunity for us to recognize, you know, if you are triggered in any sense, if you're triggered in any sense, then it means that your peace has been supplanted by some other expression. So how can we work with the both and? What could that mean for oneself? We just had our Eastern Region Conference, regional conference. And it's a conference of all the Unity ministers, licensed Unity teachers, what they call credential leaders in the Eastern region. And now we're in the Eastern region. Our region goes from Maine all the way down to middle of Virginia, Southern Virginia, and all the churches in between, Massachusetts, everything, right? So we meet, there's always a conference once a year. So this year's conference, one of the workshops was led by a minister named Reverend Michelle Senegal, and she did a workshop on emotional intelligence and how we can, you know, if we're going to be, I'll say, use my words, true students, light bearers, healers, light workers, all that stuff, right? Or just plain old human beings trying to interact with other human beings, we have to be aware of our level of emotional intelligence. Because when we're not, that usually gets in the way of the harmony or our relationships, right? It's hard to do that. And so your emotional intelligence is you have an understanding of what is taking place, not only in your mind, but how are you showing up in life? And how are you showing up in your relationships? Because, you know, you may think you're just fine and other people are not experiencing that. They're having some other kind of experience of you. And you may be expressing that you're not aware of this is what you are expressing. So she says that there are five areas of emotional intelligence that we want to explore. I'm only going to go over the first two, but the first one is self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, and social skills. That if we're going to have a high degree of emotional intelligence, we need to touch or have these five things, areas working at an optimal level. Self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, and social skills, right? And I think empathy is needed because it's become something that is seen as a negative thing to some people out here. Now, I don't want to go over O2, but I do want to talk about the first two and work with those because I do believe everything starts within. So self-awareness and self-regulation of your sense of self is very important, knowing what's going on in your whole being, because we're talking about this series of spiritual laws for inner well-being, right? There's so much going on in the outer. Our inner world needs to have strong footing so that we have, you know, a sense of who we are, how we're operating, why we're operating, what's coming up for us, because there's a lot of stuff that comes up, right, with some of these issues and laws and feelings, and it's like, oh, how are we regulating that? How are we allowing ourselves to be what we say in scriptural terms, in the world, but not what? Of it. To be in it, to do a good work, but not be so affected by everything that we can't function or we can't do what is ours to do. Learning how to be in the world and learning how to take care of one's inner world. What are the thoughts you're feeling and what's happening within you so that we can be, you know, strong and resilient and resourceful and peaceful and balanced and ready to rock and roll, not depleted, because some of this, if you focus on it without the right consciousness, it will deplete you, defeat you, depress you. Right? All of those things. And it's like we cannot afford to allow ourselves to move into that vibration. So how do we do that? By being aware of what's happening in your own inner world, being self-aware so that you can also self-regulate. Understanding that I have my divinity, but I also have my humanity. And how do I work with both and? And I'll say this, that usually your divinity, your spiritual side, your divine side, doesn't need much work. It's usually our humanity, our human side that causes the challenge, right? You think about it, it's our ego, it's the, you know, all of these things that usually get up in the way. Because the spirit will say, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to love them. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to do this. And your human side says, no. No. They did this. They did that. No. They deserve this. They don't deserve that. No. So it's usually our humanity that week because we're complex beings, you know. But this is the side where we have to take the time if we're going to do both. And we are fully divine and fully human. So for me, it's like, oh, where is my humanity getting in the way of my divinity? Where am I not showing up for myself like I want to show up? What is the impact? What's going on in my inner world? And what is the impact that I'm having upon my world in the outer? You know? And sometimes we're just unaware of that. I know sometimes I go unconscious and I think, you know, I'm being kind and loving when that's not the case. And we all know people who, you know, they're grumpy, they're negative, as soon as you ask them a question, it's always no, nah. And yet if you were to ask them to do a self-assessment, they would think they're the most cooperative person on the planet. Because they're not aware, right, of the impact that they, their presence, their being is having on their world or what's taking place in their world. And so we want to be able to really take the time to do that. And sometimes we have to do what I say to kind of go back to review what's happening in our selves, our divine self and our human self. How are we bringing? Are we doing well in bringing our divinity into our humanity? And are we okay when our humanity is showing up? Do we know that you know? Are we self-aware? Because if you're going to be you can't self-regulate if you're not self-aware. You can't transform yourself or heal yourself if you're not aware that there are things and areas and situations and circumstances within you that need to be healed. Physician, heal thyself, right? And thank God we have the great healer, the great physician, the I am, that spiritual sense that is the Christ that is always in us to help us do the work. But we have to be willing to do that inner work. So, self-awareness, self-regulation. If we're going to be fully human and fully divine, fully peaceful and fully sense of warriors. And right now, we need, you know, I'm going to be that peaceful warrior, which means I'm going to speak, I'm going to do what is mine to do, but I must do it from a way that is what? Healing and brings wholeness. It doesn't mean I sit in my house and put the covers over my head and say, well, it's all going to work. Yes, it is all going to work, but sometimes you have to be the worker. So you got to figure out, you know, what's yours to do? When and how are you going to do it? And what is the spirit and consciousness you're going to bring it? You know, so like I love the peaceful warrior. I don't know if you all have been looking at what's happening like in Portland with all the the ICE is there and the National Guard is there, and now they're trying to bring military there. But there's this one guy who came out in a frog costume, and he was just dancing around in his frog costume, and it caught on. So other people are flooding the street. There's bunny costumes and all the, you see, they're protesting, right? They're resisting, but they're bringing that joy into it so that they're combating the thought, because there are those who are just waiting. They want a riot. They want some kind of war. They want people so that they can justify bringing in these troops, bringing in the military, so they can justify coming out and, shooting American citizens because they were rioting, or the streets are overflowing with crime. And so they want to show our streets are overflowing with wonderful bunnies and frogs and, and it's just such a wonderful way, because they're bringing joy into the resistance. Right? I'm a peaceful warrior. How can I figure out how to work that? And so I just think that was just so wonderful. They're making it like they're out there in numbers, but they're making it like a party, so that the other side can't say, see, this is why we must militarize our cities and our states. The people are just off and rampant, and the people are partying. As a way to bring what? Awareness. As a way of resistance. Because, we could all, then you got both. We could pick up guns, too, but now you're going to have two people. That's not it. And neither is sitting in the house acting like nothing's happening. So I love it. The way of the peaceful warrior. How can we do it? The way of the servant leader. The way of the person who's fully divine and fully human as well. What's this way? How can we tap into both sides of our nature and who we really are? So self-awareness is being aware of what's going on within you. Not only what's going on within you, but the impact your being, your presence, your soul, your essence has upon your world as well. Every time you come into a room, you are broadcasting who you are, because your vibration and your energy will speak louder than your words, right? And so we have to watch that. I have to watch it. I have a very strong presence, and I always try to keep it balanced, but sometimes, she's out there. But I try to work on that, because sometimes I'm not aware of the intensity of my spirit and my soul, but that same intensity also serves me well when I want to do intense prayers, when I want to speak the truth, when I want to do some spiritual work. I need that intensity. I need that focus. I need that power. But I have to also watch and make sure that I'm also using it in a way that I want to use it when I'm in my humanity as well. And because when we're self-aware, we're not always aware of what's happening while it's happening. You're not always aware of your emotional state while you're in your emotional state. Sometimes we are. Sometimes I can say, I am mad. I was going to say something else, but I won't. But, I'm aware. And I know I have a choice, and sometimes I'm able to choose the right way, and sometimes it's like, mm-mm, Becca Beans is coming out. I'm going this way. But if I do want to change, I have to be aware of what's happening. So sometimes we can't do it in the moment, and that's okay. As long as if you want to be a consciously awakened individual, then you might want to take the time after the experience has happened to go back and to do some reflection. And to look at, what I call a back review, or using your experience as a clue or a cue as to what's happening. Did you get triggered? Are you angry? What was that about? Because I find that usually any type of intense reaction or a trigger or an expression of something, when it's strong, it usually is a signal. It's a signal that something is happening within you, or something is amiss within your own spirit, or something needs to be looked at on that emotional intelligence scale. Where am I on that scale? Am I all the way out or whatever? Am I stuffing everything down? Where am I? And so we begin to look at this, and it requires your attention so that you can bring healing and balance and wholeness to your inner state of being, because your inner state of being is everything. This is where you're coming from. This is how you're going to show up in life, according to what is taking place, what? Within you. So being aware of that and looking at the places, your growing edges. Where do you need work? What has to happen so that, you know, when the stuff comes and you're out on the protest line, you're not going to pick up a rock, but you're going to make sure you're going to wear a frog costume. You're in control. See? So this is what is important to us. And then once you recognize that something is amiss, your spirit is not right, you're triggered or you're upset, or you notice that something's going on and you're off balance, something doesn't feel right, because you all know when you don't feel right, right? Everybody knows, even though we might ignore it, we know that it's happening. But if you want to really move on to that high level of emotional intelligence, if you really want to function from the higher level of your being, fully divine and fully human, we want to elevate our humanity, elevate our human condition. Because the human condition is broad. We can be kind and loving souls, and we see you can be cruel and mean, and, you know, you can care, have depths of compassion and care, you know, when there's a tsunami or something and humanity just opens up the heart and serves the people and helps people. And now we're getting to see the depths of humanity where we're going to cut people off and starve people and bomb people. And all we know the depths of the human condition, right? It can go to the left or to the right. But we want to be able to elevate ourselves, and that takes self-awareness. If you're going to regulate, you've got to be self-aware. So this is what I'm thinking, that most of our, when we're off, I'm learning for me, it's like, okay, my spirit is off. It's not my spirit, but my psyche is off. What do I need to do and what's really going on? And usually when it's off, it's because I think when people are having, you know, issues, it's because there's something that's unhealed issues will show up, right? Unexpressed feelings are going to show up. Unexpressed or unacknowledged feelings. I'm having these things, but I'm keeping it all at bay. It's going to show up, right? All of these things. Traumas that are not addressed. Our hurts, our disappointments that are not addressed or acknowledged. They find their way into expression. That's just the nature. And so then we get caught up in the expression and think we don't go back to see the source. Don't go back to figure out what's going on. And it takes a lot of self-awareness, self-honesty to be able to see inside of your own soul. But we're light bearers and light, you know, light, we got to shine the light within before we can shine it out. Oh, because what you're going to shine out might not be what you really want out there. So clean it up. What's happening? What am I shining out? And here's a good technique that I think, because we're not always aware of what's happening when we're in the moment, you know, each day, before you just close out your day, take some time to do a review. What were my experiences today? What were they good? How was I today? Did, you know, were my experiences something that I would label joyful? How did I show up today? You know, did I, the other day, what was I had a call. I forgot what I was doing. I was calling one of the customer service people. And she kept going around the same thing. And finally, I said, Miss, I just said this. I just need an answer to this. You keep, because she has a script. You know, they have a script. And she couldn't get to my issue because she was on her script. And I kept saying, I'm aware of that. Please, this is what I'm asking you about. And she kept starting with, I said, and then finally, I said, oh, my gosh. And then she said, well, ma'am, I'm just trying to help you. I said, but you're not helping me. Here's how you can help me. Answer this question. And then I realized, man, I was all off. And then, you know, I felt bad for her because she was like, well, ma'am, I'm just trying to help you and, you know, answer your question. I said, but you're not answering. So we went round and round. And then finally, I just said, you know what? Give this one up. You know, because I could see that my response to her, which was like, oh, my gosh, was also now upsetting what? Her. And so I just said, you know what? They just have to give it up. I'll have to find the answer some other kind of way. I let her finish her script. And then I said, and she says, well, is there anything else I can do? I said, no, thank you. Thank you. But I had to look at what? Me. Even though she was frustrating me, I got to see that I was also frustrating her. And I have to recognize that, okay, you know, sometimes people are where they are. And everyone is not always going to be where you are. But what is important is, where are you? What did, you know, how are you being in the moment? How are you presencing your life? And so each day, before you go to bed, look at, what was my growing edge today? What was happening? Where was I on the emotional intelligence scale? Was it very high? Was I self-aware? Did I self-regulate, or do I need some work over here? Just so that you keep things in your consciousness so that you can make the changes you want to make. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. You still may fall off and have another customer service person call you and, you know, you get caught in the loop. But awareness is key. Awareness is key. Not perfection, but what? Awareness. And awareness means I'm committed to getting back on the horse. I'm committed to trying once again. I'm committed to see whether I can grow in this area. I'm committed to my life. I'm committed to my purpose of being and how I'm showing up in the world. And so when we think about, you know, all of these contradictions and these seemingly opposite sides of life, it's really what's showing up. Sometimes a cry for love can be seen as what? A really negative. And, you know, they used to tell you that in kids when you're working with little kids. The little baby that's misbehaving, really, or the little child that's misbehaving, we're judging the behavior, but there might be something behind the behavior. Maybe they're hungry. Maybe they come from a really hard life at home. Maybe they don't know how to express themselves. They have needs that are unaddressed. And so here is how I'm going to demonstrate it. Everybody's not going to always come out with the perfect demonstration about how you think they should be. But if we can start to read the cues of our life experiences, everything in life comes to teach us. Every experience we have is a teachable moment. It's teaching me something. Not necessarily about them, but it's teaching me what? About myself. She was all off on the wrong script, but it taught me something about myself. And somebody just gave me a book, and I'm not sure who it was. They told me, maybe it was Tim, the book called Let Them, right? By Melody, I think Melanie Beattie, and she has... Melanie Robbins. Melanie, Let Them. So I haven't opened it yet, but I love that concept. Sometimes you just have to let them. But at the same time, you can't be a doormat. You can't just let them, but you let them. So again, which side of the coin is going to come out? Which side needs to be worked on and to be addressed? Yes, I may need to have boundaries as I'm letting them. But how can I do that in a way that's peaceful and loving, but yet honoring of what? Of myself and my needs. And that's part of my journey too. You know, as a minister, I'm always trying to figure out, I've got to self-sacrifice everything. No. I could be a good minister and still tell you no. I could be a good person and still say no. I could be a good person and still try to help you, but sometimes my helping you might be what? No. So we have to learn all of this. What is life? Your life is teaching you something. Your life and your experiences are trying to show you something. What is it that it's teaching you? At the end of the day, you know, am I triggered, or do I have traumas, or am I experienced? Was it joy-filled? Was it honoring? Did I feel good about myself, about my relations, my interactions? Just do a self-reflection so that you can figure out what's happening, because the more you can be in touch with the awareness of who you are, the more you can then merge your divinity with your humanity. You can be a peaceful warrior. You can be a servant leader. You can be a wounded healer. You can do those things at the same time, because we're neither this nor that. We are what? both and. So be blessed and be a blessing. Amen. Thank you for blessings. I had this last sentence. It says, take your cues and heal accordingly. Wonderful. Thank you. Let's